Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Do you recognise this character who's talking to Bosco?
Bosco.
Who is it? It's too early to get up. Go away, Philip.
I'm not Philip. It's me, Bosco. Come on, Bosco.
I mean, Frank, leave me alone.
I can't leave. Bosco, come up.
I'm tired.
I appreciate that, but there's people want to see you now. Come on,
Bosco. It must be Marion. I need my
Marion never sounded like that. Now, come on, Bosco, please.
I know, you're growing you with the cold.
Well, I must be growing you with something. No, listen, I've news for you, Bosco. You're on Anything Goes. This is Angus here.
Angus?
Yeah.
Angus who?
Angus McAnultig.
Oh!
Come up.
I don't believe it.
Well, you come up and have a look and you'll see.
Angus, don't come up. Come in. Angus McAnulty is McAnally is producing today's programme. He said he has a load of calls lined up to me about queuing, but we've 30 minutes. Let's bring him down on his last day after 41 years as man and boy here in RTE. Listen to this clip as he settles in. This is him on the three-hour morning show, Saturday morning show he used to present called Anything Goes.
Now, where's Laura Fitzgerald of 34 Skibbereen Road, Lismore Lawn in Waterford? I have good news and bad news for you. Laura, you entered the Easter egg competition last week. Do you remember that? Well, the good news is you entered. The bad news is you sent the egg to the wrong place. You sent it in to us and not to the Kilkenny Design Centre. However, the good news is we actually got it. The bad news is, between me taking it home and the briefcase, it got fairly wrecked. It's fairly battered now. In fact, I've never seen a worse egg to be battered than that. But the good news is, your egg is on television and no one else's is. So I think that's brilliant. So well done, Laura Fitzgerald in Lismore Lawn and Waterford. Congratulations. Do you want that, Paul? There you are. He's a cameraman going. That's it. All right, now that's for you. That's for your secretary. Right.
Under 16.
Okay, that's Angus McAnally, who's retiring
this
tomorrow.
This is a complete surprise.
On his 65th birthday. Okay, Angus, what age were you when you became Irish National Billiards Champion?
I was 15. It was the under 16 Irish Boys Billiards Championship. I entered the snooker championships and I entered the billiards championships.
Okay,
four people entered the snooker, so I got beaten in the final. And a week later, I got into post what I thought was the actual draw for the billiards. And it was actually my tickets to go and represent Ireland because nobody else entered. I won it unopposed.
But you still represent Ireland in billiards.
I do indeed. And okay. It's my great.
What age were you when you joined Mushroom?
I was 17.
Was that your first band?
First band. On the road. I had been in a little three-piece called Sincerely Yours, a little folk group with the McGurran sisters, Kathy and Rosemary. And we played, believe it or not, Joe, we played at the Red Cross Refugees Concert where people came down from the north of Ireland. And in Gormanstown College, we went and played for them there. And then when I was 17, I did my leaving cert and I went on the road with Mushroom.
What did your parents, Ray McAnally, the great actor, Ronnie Masterson, the great actress, what did they think of their 17-year-old going on the road?
My dad, I told him when I was 15, I said, Dad, I think I want to be a professional musician. And he said, Angus, I would like you to do whatever you want to do with your life and your career. Wow. However, the one proviso is that you do it to the very best of your ability. So he organised lessons for me with the great Louis Stewart. And I used to take a bus from Sutton into town and from town out to Walkinstown to get an hour with the great Louis Stewart once a week. And then we started in Mushroom. We did Early One Morning, a wonderful album. Devil Among the Tailors was a hit single. And it was just...
And how long were we on the road? But Mushroom?
2.5 years.
And then... You went into other show bands.
In 75 then I went down to Mosny and I played guitar in Mosny, and then I played in the Burlington Hotel, and then the wonderful Joe Cuddy, who's not great at the moment, Joe, wishing you well and I hope you get well soon. Joe Cuddy, I joined his band and I was for a year and a half touring around doing cabaret with Joe, and it was fantastic. And then I went into the Chariot Inn in Ranelagh, which is a wonderful seven nights a week doing music, playing for
When did you go into Wanderley Wagon?
In 1978, I was doing a musical and it was very badly attended one day, and the musicians started acting. We sent the seven people home, and we were just in the afternoon, we were doing a night show as well, so we said, look, we sent the afternoon people home, and the musicians got up on stage and the actors got down and played a bit of the music. And Carolyn Swift, who was writing Wanderley Wagon, saw me and said, Angus, would you like to play a part in a children's drama called Wanderley Wagon? And I was Fergus the Magic Postman in that for two seasons, and then the head of children's programmes saw me on that and said, would you like to be, we're doing a four person Saturday morning show called Anything Goes.
Okay, let's see you on Wanderley Wagon.
Oh, there There's the parcel I delivered earlier on today.
Hey. Oh, I do love getting parcels.
Oh, yes, Mr. Crow, so do I. Especially when I don't know what's inside them.
Oh, I love getting presents too. And giving them to, of course, Godmother.
I know a song about that. If I could remember the words.
Oh, sing it, Godmother, and maybe I'll remember the words. And maybe Fergus there will too.
Oh, yeah, I know it all right. I always know the words of songs. They just seem to come to me, like, you know.
Well, right then. Give is to receive, they say.
Nora O'Mahony there and Eugene Lambert.
Along with
2 years, two seasons of that. So far,
you're a billiards player. You're a guitarist, an extremely accomplished guitarist. You're an actor.
Yeah, I've loved the acting. Actually, I did a wonderful piece written by a genius called Brian Redden called The Fear Bullock. It was on T.G. Cahar, where I played a rock group.
Well, you're in a family of your mother and father. Yeah, what are your memories of your father, Ray McNally, whose anniversary you mentioned to us?
Yeah, on
week?
Monday. Yeah, 31 years dead. I suppose growing up, I got annoyed the first two or three times I saw him dying. Like you're watching your dad being killed on the television, and my mom had to tell me, no, it's only pretend, you know. And then you got used to it. Then I remember getting annoyed at some American tourists coming out of the Abbey where he was doing one of the Shakespearean plays, where obviously they pushed this sword underneath his arm for him to die, you know. And this woman was in front of me going, did you see that? They didn't even stab him, put it under his arm. And I thought, yeah, the missus, they want to do it tomorrow night as well, you know. But so initially, and then funny enough, when I was about 7 or 8, dad was in the West End for a year and a half. Doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and we had a black and white photograph of him on the wall, and I used to kiss that goodnight for a year and a half. We got over to see him about twice, but in those days, travel was really, really, really expensive, so we didn't get to see him.
Is it true Jimmy Cagney was in your house?
Jimmy Cagney bounced me up and down on his knee. They were doing Shake Hands with the Devil, an irate show shot around Pier Street and in all over Dublin, and apparently he came out, and so that's I don't fully remember it, but it's a nice thing to be able to say, yep, Jimmy Cagney in our house, in Arcane.
So to go back to your television career, you're in Wanderly Wagon, then you went to Anything Goes.
Anything Goes for
6 years.
Which
was groundbreaking, three hours every Saturday.
It was amazing with Dave Heffernan, Cathy Park and Mary Fitzgerald. And Mary was doing the make and do stuff. Cathy was doing all the sporty stuff. Dave was doing all the wonderful interviews of the rock musicians or whatever. And we made the video for Old Town, the Phil Lynott video.
Oh yeah, with Jerry Gregg.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Jerry Gregg and all those. So we did. And I was, of course, doing everything and anything, literally. And I mean, just walking over to the TV building the other day, I was just thinking, I remember when Dave would walk out and a cherry picker, as in a big hoist, would bring the camera up onto the roof where a band would be playing music. And I did the live parachute jump into the building. Literally everything, anything went. Although I must remember the first time that I was unemployed after the summer in June, I was in signing on in Sean McDermott, or not Sean McDermott Street, in
Werber Street. Werber Street
there. Anyway, and you have to call your name. They go, Angus McAnally. And I was walking up and I go, yes, mortified. And a fella says, oh, Angus, anything goes. It went for you.
Anything gone.
Anything gone, yeah. Amazing.
And then you went to Evening Extra.
I did a year with Shay Healy, the wonderful Shay Healy. And a shout out to Shay as well, and Siobhan Cleary and BB Baskin. And that was 6 nights a week.
And you interviewed, among other people, not only did you interview BB Baskin, but you, BB King.
Several times,
Not only did you interview BB King, the legendary guitarist, you actually played guitar with him.
I did indeed.
And here it is.
Oh, yes, it may not be the BB you're looking for, but you do have BB.
It is, of course, the legendary BB King, the greatest blues guitar player of all time. Welcome to Evening Extra, BB.
Thank you. And thanks very much.
Welcome back to Ireland. Born in the mid-20s on a cotton plantation, when at about 14 years of age, you headed out into Memphis and started learning the guitar then?
My people were very religious, at least my mother was, and they used to take me to church, and the preacher played guitar in church. And that's when I really got a sampling of what guitar was like, and later learning about the electric guitar and hearing those nice sounds.
Oh, that's lovely.
And really, when I heard T-Bone Walker playing the single string electric guitar, that did it. I went crazy, and I've been crazy ever since.
Listen, why don't we give people at home a little blast of what they might hear tonight?
I'd love it. How about A? Would that be okay?
That'll do me fine, baby.
I used to play a place called Twist, Arkansas. Now, Twist, Arkansas is not too far out of Memphis, Tennessee. And I used to play there every Friday and Saturday night. But one night, two guys started fighting, and when they did, one of them knocked the other one over on that container of kerosene. When they did, it spilled on the floor, and it looked like a river of fire because it was already burning. Jeez. Everybody started running for the front door, including B.B. King. But when I got on the outside, I remembered then that I'd left my guitar. I went back for it. So I almost lost my life trying to save my guitar. The next morning, we found that these two guys were fighting about a lady. I never did meet her, but I learned that her name was Lucille. I named my guitar Lucille to remind me not to do a thing like that again.
Well, we got Lucille here in the studio. Maybe it's nearly time for you to go today. We cannot let you leave the Evening Extra studio without you meeting the other BB.
Hello, BB. You know, you've really spoiled things for me because I was the only BB in the country until you arrived.
But you're the pretty one.
Oh, that's BB King with the great BB Baskin. Okay, we've known for 41 years that Angus is going to retire tomorrow because tomorrow is his birthday, 65, Midsummer's Day, and I'll mention that later on as well. So we asked him to play us out on the programme today at 3 minutes to three. And he was keeping an ad break and he was giving out to me because I called the ad breaks early.
I brought
him in early. But just listen to Angus McAnally playing the guitar and singing this wonderful Christy Hennessy song, who you were a good friend of.
He was a lovely man, and I've been honoured and privileged to do and to write a show about his life. Yes, and we toured it, and we were meant to be obviously touring it over the last couple of months, and quite rightly all that had to be put on hold. And to the very best of my knowledge, we are optimistic that we can put those dates back in next year in the Bord Gáis.
And you did the eulogy
at his funeral in Tralee, and he was just such a wonderful man with a great gift of the gab, a mischievous little grin, and he wrote some incredible songs. I suppose
this one suits you so much.
Well,
I'll roll back to Claes. Will you play it?
Okay,
I'm in charge now.
Sorry,
you're not the boss of me anymore.
I've been sitting here so long for you to hear my song, but all you want to know, have I been on the radio? Who's the biggest star I've seen? What is my favorite scene? And if I get the job, would I sing on Mars? Yes, sir, I would sing on Mars. I'd play upon a star. I'd sing songs of the sun. And when my job was done, I would say, I love you so. And I'd like to play one more. Just to all young lovers, Father Rowe. Tell me, sir, just how far I need to go to be a star. I have known my highs and lows. I've worked in every show. I've played in every town and brought some houses down. Yet critics never notice me. I'm not a star, you see. And yet I give my heart to every part. I would wait for hours and hours. I'd stand through sun and showers with my dancing shoes and my dreams on view. I'd walk upon an empty stage with one light in my face to be told, don't phone us, but we'll phone you. Tell me, sir, just how far I need to go to be a star. Every day the same old scenes, the same old happenings.
100 miles of shows and yet no place to go. And when your luck is all run out, you're asked to take a bow. You've just stolen the show, but now you're on your own. Yes, sir, I would sing on Mars. My dream scene is me a star, me the star. I am a star. God bless you, Christy.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Sit down there, Angus. Let's listen to you. This is Anything Goes, visiting the Ballyfermot Library, where I was born and reared and loved and will love till the day I die. Ballyfermot, Angus McAnally and Ballyfermot Library.
Here's a good question for you.
Where can you go to read a book?
Play chess.
Watch a video.
Have a disco.
Listen to a storyteller.
Take part in a quiz.
Painting or art and craft.
And all under one roof.
The answer is...
your local library.
Let's just have a look at one of the hundreds of lines of books that you can find in the library. For example, just on this shelf here, you have knitting, crochet, you have stuff there, tie-dye, batik, candle making, taking up drawing and painting, you've got stamp collecting, the theatre, you've got Shakespeare, William Tell, ballet, handbook of indoor games, which would be great during the winter, a game a day book, lots of stuff there. Here's, oh, close-up magic for beginners. That would interest me now. You never know, I might get a few ideas for next season's Anything Goes. Stunts, mental effects, pins, rope and string, puzzles, miscellaneous effects. So you're bound to get something of interest to you, no matter what your tastes are, what hobbies you have. You'll definitely find a book to suit you in the library. So it really, really is a good, simple idea to go down and get books. They're absolutely free. And there are very few things in life at the moment that are free, but books are one of them when you're in the library.
And that's Angus. Angus, by the way, you got many honours in your intercert.
I got 7 honours in my intercert, and I used to love saying that to people because it was the same year that I represented Ireland as an under-16 billiards player, and people used to say, oh, the sign of a misspent youth. I said, well, I got 7 honours in my intercert. Is that any good?
And you're fluent as Gaelga, as we know, here in the campus.
Yeah, it's Malam Gaelga and Vincenzo McGullachant, you know, and I had sort of Connemara
Irish. But is he your dad? Is it Ray McAnally's Gaelga?
No, he had Donegal Irish, and with all due respect, I'll probably never play in Donegal again. I don't like the Donegal Irish. I find it too hard like German. Sharknar the heart, the one, the hand, the man, whereas I much prefer the Connemara Gaelic.
You did Borderline. What was that?
Borderline was brilliant. I tell you why, because it was a show for teenagers and the older teenagers. And funny thing, you and I were very, very, very friendly and pally and worked with the great Gay Byrne. And a source of resentment that we used to have on Borderline was the day or 2 days before Gay showed the condom on the Late Late Show, or the night before, actually, on the Thursday, we had shown a condom on Borderline, but did it get any coverage? No. Not at all. Thank you. Why would a small show on a Thursday, don't you know? All right, roll it there. But it was brilliant because it was the first time you had young people talking openly. I remember we did AIDS, we did all of that, the virus, and, you know, it was wonderful. And I used to make a point of learning every single day. There were about 30 people in the studio, and I would go around, and I did it in groups of 5. Go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got those names, then I'd do the next 5. And I just felt it was much better rather than having name tags. I could say, Joe, sorry, Rebecca, Richie, you know, Annette, Fergus, whatever, use the names. And rather than saying, that man there, the fella with the shirt beside the fella.
And just come back, when you're on the road with Mushroom and the show bands, what about drink and carousing? You were 17, 18, 19.
I drank from 15 to 19, Joe. I gave
pints a day.
I gave a good account of myself. And one day when I was 19, in March of 1975, I woke up and I said, I will never, touch wood, take another drink. And I have never
I felt
that I was absolutely alcoholic territory. I never had one drink on its own. I had a bottle of whiskey or 10 pints or gin, vodka, anything, literally whatever's left on the table. My dad was a wonderfully recovered alcoholic, and
a huge influence in AA, and people still talk about Ray Mack from Sutton. And
would you have known at home that your dad was so involved with AA?
Absolutely, sure. I mean, it was an open house, so you'd come down in the morning and you could see six fellas sitting at the table.
And your dad,
one of them could be an axe murderer, the other could be a fella who'd fallen off the wagon.
And Ray McNally was
and
helping.
He was mentoring them and talking to them and minding them. It was wonderful.
You loved him, didn't you?
Oh, he was a great. He was a brilliant, brilliant genius who was completely bonkers as well.
Was he?
And if you'd a bit like if you didn't see his way of doing things, no, any joke. He was one. If you disagreed with his opinion on something, he would stay arguing the toss until he got you around to his way almost. And a couple of times, Joe, in order so that I could survive going and having me dinner, I'd say, "You're right, Dad, actually, I agree with you." I wouldn't agree with him at all, but I was doing it so that I could breathe.
Had a great phrase you mentioned in one interview. He said, what was he said? It's better to be a has-been than a never
than
was.
Than a never was-er. And that's been...
What does that mean?
Explain. What it means is go and do it, and if you fail, how bad? Rather than saying, do you know, I'd love someday to have written a book or sung a song or stood on a stage. And if you never did it, you'd never know. So much better to be a has-been that you did it and tried it and succeeded and failed. And I mean, I remember I was sacked by Claire Dignan, the head here, in 4 minutes, and I actually went to the Director General about it. At the end of Evening Extra, I was called in for a meeting, and I'm not resentful.
That's,
30 years later.
The nature of the business.
But it was the nature of the business. But
it still is the nature.
But it was in 3 minutes, and I just thought they could have done it a bit nicer. And I'd no work, and I cried and rang Billy, my wife. I had two kids at the time, and I came over to the radio building and I knocked on Advan O'Driscoll's door, who was the head of Light Entertainment. I said, I have a window of opportunity here. And she said, would you like to report into Both Sides Now, an emigrant programme? And I started that, and I got a contract and another one.
And you presented that.
And the rest is history.
That was a very important programme for emigrants.
At that time,
oftentimes a sad programme as well.
1984.
Then you worked for... on the Gay Bourne Show, like we all did. And this is you on the Gay Bourne Show, 1987. You braved the big snow for Gable.
All right, Angus, now where are you, my love?
Gay, I am stuck, badly stuck. Myself and Philip turned off. We got as far as Balbriggan. We were doing fairly well. And we turned right off the Balbriggan Road out towards Balscadden. And in the background, Philip is revving the car, which is stuck. Can't go forward, nor backwards, as the fellow says. And there's an absolute blizzard here. We're outside the house, which I may go and try and knock and see if we can get a rope and get us tied up. But the snow is absolutely... If the snow bucket down, what does snow do? Whatever it does, it's doing it anyway. And we're stuck here in the snow.
What do you... If by chance you get to a house and if by chance you get a rope, what do you intend to do with this rope, Angus?
Well, I've a fair idea what I do with Philip, because I said keep going straight and he said no, turn right. So, because there's nothing, the car is absolutely thrunged up in 4 foot of snow in all directions.
So this is the advantage of front-wheel drive, is it?
Yes, it hadn't seemed a good idea at the time.
Right. Whose car is it anyway?
You'll be glad to know that Mr. Philip Camp hired it from Kenny.
Oh, well done, well done. So what do we care then is the answer to that.
I didn't say that.
I mean, you're in a bit of a snowdrift, really. That's what it is.
Either side of the ditch is here, it's 6-7 feet high.
Yes.
And it is appalling. And the wind is quite strong. And it's actually blowing the snow from the fields out back onto the roads, you know?
Yes. And you're about how many miles off the main road, the main Balbriggan road?
Well, would you believe we are no more than, I would say, a quarter of a mile off the main Balbriggan road. And it's that bad instantly.
I see, yes. Are you in danger of death?
Well, I have no food with me.
Yes.
I have 7 layers of clothing.
Yes.
And it's going to be a case of survival by going and either knocking on doors and saying, help, we need help. But I must admit, the name Gay Bourne works wonders. All you have to do is say, oh, we're from the Gay Bourne Show. And please don't get out about us. We'll give you anything you want. Rope, food, matches, anything.
Oh, what a lot. That's 1987. Gay said, are you in danger of death, jokingly? You're not. You're retiring on your birthday tomorrow, such 65. But this is just a career move.
It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to the gift of time to be able to go on to tour and to do my music and to do my magic and to do my billiards and my snooker and golf and see my children and my grandchildren and enjoy. I've been working since I was 17 and I'm not stopping. I'm stopping the RTE work, but I'm really looking forward to being able to perform and play and tour. And I've a lot more acting. Somebody somebody's been on to me, a major producer, about a one-man show that they'd like me to do. So I'm looking forward to treading the boards.
I want you to mention the women in your life, your mother and Billy, your wife.
My mum, Ronnie Masterson, a wonderful actress, the granny in Angela's Ashes.
Yeah,
and mum and dad were split up, and it caused a lot of grief at the time, but I very much was on mum's side.
It was
tough, but I just couldn't. I went with her everywhere I could, brought her all around the world. Every holiday I went on, she was there. And
a few weeks before she died,
Billy Morton, a daughter of Billy Morton, the man who built the Morton Stadium in Santee, has been my wife for 41 years, and I am nothing without her. She is absolutely the best wife any man could ever want.
And you have two children,
Andy, and they're just a joy to me. I'm an emotional man at the best of times, but they're, and to all my colleagues here, everybody.
This is about you. No mention of your family and the day that's in it, and your grandchildren as well, and the difficult time we're in. Normally we had, unbeknownst to you, we had a massive thing planned for last night here in Studio One, but obviously COVID-19, which you've covered so brilliantly here in Liveline as a producer in the last 4 months, came away. Up to the microphone, please.
Well, I put a verse out being the producer to make sure I get out in time. You're grand.
Okay, I want to say Angus McAnally was born 65 years ago on June the 20th, tomorrow, which happens to be Midsummer's Day. And given his career so far as actor, musician, performer, presenter, producer, sportsman, magician, manager, singer, and above all, son to his late parents, Ronnie Masterson and Ray McAnally, husband to Billy and father to Angus Og and Andy, and a proud and active grandfather. He has worked in RTE for 41 years in many roles, including My Boss when he was producer in charge of Liveline. And as his career so far ends in RTE tomorrow, Midsummer's Day, it reminds me that Angus McAnally embraces the four seasons of the year, from the gaiety and warmth of summer in the bands he played in, from Mushroom, the Big Top TV show. Do you remember that, Angus? Anything Goes, the Lyrics Board, wonderful programme, and to the courage and change of autumn, embodied in his ability to move from different roles with ease and enthusiasm, and the growth and life of spring in his many varied skills, including supreme guitarist, magician, international billiards player for Ireland, and the sadness and courage of winter embodied in his production work on programmes like Both Sides Now, dealing with immigrants, and indeed on this programme, Liveline, where he helped bring very difficult and important stories to air. Angus's father, Ray, the BAFTA award-winning actor, once played George Bernard Shaw opposite no lesser actor than Sir John Gielgud. And a quote from Bernard Shaw probably sums up the canon of work that Angus has produced here, primarily in RTE. You use a glass mirror to see your face. You use works of art to see your soul. Angus has been showing us his soul through TV, radio, stage, music, laughter, drama, tears for decades. Each creative work moving us, moulding us, mesmerising us, and as you heard a few minutes ago, mimicking us. His artist hand has used colour from his rich palette to portray life not as it always is, is always seen, but as it needs to be seen. Angus McAnally, happy retirement. The last sound, the last voice on today's programme is, which was produced by Angus McAnally, the last voice is that of Angus McAnally.
Ring a ring a rosie as the lights decline. I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. I'll do one verse. Oh, my name, it is Sean Dempsey, as Dublin as can be, born hard and late in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost out to redundancy, like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. I'll say goodbye with a chorus, thank you everyone. Ring a rosy, as the light declined, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. friends. I love you all.